Hello and welcome to
Ghost Beam,
a horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
Hi. We just watched The Substance from 2024, directed by Coralie Farja. She also directed Revenge, which is a movie we've been meaning to watch, but it's always hard with movies that deal with like essay stuff. I've heard that it's handled very responsibly, but it's still kind of difficult. But we got to get around to it at some point. This movie continues two trends, I think. One is that 2024 has been fucking ridiculous for horror movies. I mean, we also just watched Oddity, and with like Strange Darling and Cuckoo and Inner Violent Nature, it's like fucking crazy how horror is kind of popping off this year. But the other trend is that it was like almost impossible to see it in theaters because nobody was playing it after like 1 week. Which I also don't understand at all. I mean, there were a lot of other movies like the new Transformers and the Wild Robot and like all these other random things, which I guess are big new releases, but they all just seem really boring to me. I don't know if that's like the state of cinema right now. But The Substance was fantastic. I mean, this is one that I feel like there was a lot of hype going into it. A lot of people have already been talking it up. And the funny thing is, I'm not going to spoil things just yet, but I think through most of the movie, it's like it was extremely good. I mean, it was kind of checking all the boxes. It's really beautiful. It's very stylish. We'll get into all that. But I think like the ending is really what made it for me, because I think the whole way, the best way I could describe it is I was like, yeah, this is really good. This is really engaging. It's funny, which I don't know how much I was expecting, like the sense of humor that it has, but it was the ending that really made me go, okay,
yeah.
I get it. I think you had a little bit of trouble with the themes just because it is all about beauty standards and everything. I think everyone already knows that element of it, and it goes pretty hard on that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, anybody who has issues with...
It's called body dysmorphia.
With
that. So we can talk about like what it's not exactly beauty standards. I mean, it gets centered around it. But I mean, like what the issue. I do suffer from body dysmorphia, and this film really portrays it kind of correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In like a very over the top horror centric way. But yeah, I think that's true for a lot of horrors. They can tackle these kind of issues in this really weird, extreme way that also feels like incredibly authentic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people suffer from that. It only gets worse with all the stuff on social media and beauty influencers, and like all that stuff is just feeding into this culture in this really toxic way. But even like that aside, the movie is like, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think you'd probably be able to touch on that better than I can, but it is very stylish.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of consistency in the art direction, which is really good to see.
Yeah.
There seems to have been some sort of very strong plan on how they were going to tackle the aesthetics, and it really shows.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And then you mix in the body horror, which I think people are also talking about. And the funny thing there is I think, again, through most of the movie, it's like it's definitely present. It's taking body dysmorphia in the complete like body horror direction, you know, the extreme. But the ending, I mean, it made me think of Society.
Oh, yeah.
Like anyone
100%.
Who's seen Society,
yeah.
I think Screaming Mad George has made a definite impact on this body horror genre. But overall, like it is funny to me that the kind of crux of everything, it's like that whole fitness, what do you call them? Like that fitness culture that's like very 90s, you know, like I feel like growing up, my mom would watch these kind of fitness shows with people exercising in spandex. And
yeah.
I don't know how much my mom was like doing the exercise or just watching it. Like it was such a weird cultural thing that people just watched these shows.
Yeah.
You know?
There's like Richard Simmons too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I think a lot of people were just fucking watching it and weren't doing the exercises. And I don't know what that's about, because as a kid, I didn't understand it. But I guess it ties into like the sexification of everything during the 90s, where it was just like, yeah, sexy women in like tight fitting clothes doing exercises. That's primetime TV right there, baby. And it's funny because, yeah, I think nowadays it feels like very outdated.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think it ties into the specific like feel of this movie, though. But nowadays it's more like influencers like just telling you random bullshit that isn't really based in reality and is maybe not very backed up scientifically. You know, it's like a very different thing. But I think that's where the substance comes into it. Like that feels like the modern.
I mean, there's probably some weird rich person solution for not to this degree.
Well, it's called Ozempic.
Yeah, well, I feel like even that's, I feel like there's other things. Like, I mean, you have weird beauty things across the board, like the whole vampire facial stuff.
I don't even
like,
know anything about this, but
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're more in tune with that world of things, I think.
I think I've fallen off in the years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I'm, I think there was definitely a point, and I guess this sort of ties into it, but there was definitely a point where I was buying, like, you know, every oil and mask and stuff. And, like, I think it was more so out of curiosity. I really liked trying those things. But then eventually you start to realize that
it's all bullshit.
Yeah, it doesn't really do anything. And, like, there are, of course, solutions, but usually never permanent and usually never very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is interesting just the like celebrity pipeline of doing exercise videos up to like hosting New Year's Eve parties and stuff. It's like that part felt very like 90s coded. And yeah. I think that ties into like the visual language of the film too.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel kind of like retro.
Yeah, I think to a certain degree, it does the It Follows thing where it feels a little like ambiguous, but it is certainly like touching on those things.
Yeah. I don't want to get too far into the story because it actually went in a kind of different direction than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, what you can get from the trailer is that it's Demi Moore plays this fitness TV star who kind of ages out of it and her show is like canceled. But someone reaches out to her with this like mystery drug called Ozempic. I mean, the substance that is supposed to like bring out this younger part of her. And it kind of does that literally. And yeah, I mean, there isn't a lot I really want to say without getting into spoilers. But yeah, it does feel like obviously it's playing on beauty standards and this idea that like, oh, once you're past 30, you're already like on the decline and everything. And it's kind of the ugly side of all that stuff.
Yeah, it tackles the ageism in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah, specifically towards women.
Well, and you know, I think in society in general.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah. But I don't know. I think it's like I said, I thought it was really good. It was surprisingly funny.
Mm-hmm.
There were some themes that I kind of was reading in there that I haven't had time to think about too much because we just saw it yesterday. But I was wondering if it was touching on some other issues, which I'll get into with spoilers. But the ending was just so fucking insane that the ending really made the whole movie. And I'm happy that they like went there with it.
Yeah, it is funny because in the Society, we just recorded Society not too long ago.
Yeah.
We were talking about wanting to see that pushed, and it actually
that's true.
Pushed here.
Yeah, I guess that's definitely true.
Yeah.
But I'd recommend it at this point. It's definitely one of the better horror movies from this year.
Yeah, if you can even see it, I feel like.
Yeah, it's already leaving theaters, so yeah, good
crazy.
Fucking luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, did you have anything else you want to touch on before we get to spoilers?
No.
Of course not.
No.
Then let's get to spoilers. So the thing I kept thinking back on during this is, I don't know if this is just me being childless, but it did feel like there was some kind of theme there about like having children and the way they kind of take things from you. I don't know. It's like it's a kind of like negative view on it, but there was like a read there that felt interesting, and also maybe touching on something about abortion, because they literally, when she decides to get rid of her younger self, it's literally like called the termination injection. But like I said, I don't think I've had time to really think that through, and I think it's more important to talk about all the stuff about body dysmorphia and beauty standards. I think that's the thing that's like really front and center.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'll say first, so I didn't realize, I thought that the whole idea was when you inject the substance, it literally makes you into a younger version. And I thought the body horror was going to be like some weird side effect stuff.
Okay.
I didn't realize it was going to birth a second you, which conceptually is really cool.
Yeah.
And the way they kind of play it up where they create these rules on like why you would maintain both of them, you know, that like she has to take these stability injections every day and she has to switch back and forth so that they don't like... Because the reactions were very violent.
Oh, yeah.
When they weren't, like, following the rules. But I think one thing I was having trouble with through a lot of the movie was I couldn't... At first, I couldn't tell, like, is it her same consciousness going back and forth? Or are they two separate people? And I think they're two separate...
No, it says in the movie, you are one.
Yeah, but I mean... Yeah. But I think... Okay, well, at least it wasn't just me, because I kind of fell on them being, like, two separate people, especially because at the end, they're literally fighting each other.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a deeper play into that, into why they feel like two different people, but okay. I feel like you, I want to touch back on the, like, the rules of using the substance.
Yeah.
And I feel like that has, like, a play of, like, self-care and, like, why it's important to, like, take care of yourself, like, no matter... What is happening?
Yeah. I think this is why I wanted to talk to you about all this, because I think you're going to have much better insights than me, because I'm a bit too busy. Like, is this like your fucking kid stealing your life? What the hell? I definitely don't want kids.
That's a whole other conversation, but agreed.
But it did make me wonder at a certain point, like, wait, why are you fucking doing it? Like, she's literally turning her into an old crone, like stealing her spine fluids. So it's like, why would you keep doing this? But I guess if it is just her, but yeah. They also seem to have like different personalities.
Yeah, I think, and this is just purely me. I have no idea if this has come from the movie, but it's what I took from the movie, is that I do feel like there's this aspect of like menstruation and like how, how your personality changes throughout the month. And I mean, during ovulation, you're going to feel like Sue. And then during your period, you're going to feel like, Elizabeth Sparkle.
Okay. I think I'm realizing I was looking at this very literally. Maybe that's the man perspective of just being like too focused on the fucking rules instead of like what they're portraying. But yes, this is very enlightening.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different plays into this, and my mind went in a lot of different directions. I feel like specifically the scene where she realizes that the clone had a one-night stand or a boyfriend or whatever, and she's like, well, I get to have fun too, so I'm going to call this guy that still thinks I'm so beautiful. And then as she's getting ready, she's getting more and more frustrated with herself.
Yeah.
And, like, the way that Demi Moore, like, portrayed that was, like, kind of true. Like,
yeah.
I mean, obviously exaggerated, but... I mean, there is this weird, like, she literally is getting ready to go on a date with a guy that already is, like, in love with her.
Yeah.
But she has, like, so much, like, self-confidence issues that she ends up ghosting him and staying at home and eating a ton of junk food.
It's interesting you bring that up, because that was the one that rang the most true for me, being married to someone with body dysmorphia.
Okay.
No, it made me kind of sad, honestly, because it is like, yeah, she's still so beautiful, and seeing her struggle with seeing that in herself, like, I feel that. And I don't know, like, we don't have to go super deep into this, because I know it's very personal for you, but I deal with that too, where I'm just looking at you like, you're so beautiful, what are you doing? Like, why are you wasting so much time with this? You're already beautiful. So that felt like super accurate, this like goofy ass old dude who's like, oh my God, you are the most beautiful person in the world. I can't believe you called me. And how much that she's struggling from this opposite side, you know?
Yeah.
That felt very real. Very, very real.
Yeah, it did. I did read like a very tiny section, I think on IMDb, that Demi Moore was, is it Demi or Demi?
I think it's Demi, but I don't know.
That she struggled a lot, like, wanting to perform completely nude at her age.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously they used, like, extreme lighting to their advantage and stuff like that and exaggerating. But she is, like, extremely beautiful. Like,
yes.
And I think, like, it becomes very present throughout the movie that, like, but, well, I mean, Margaret Qualley, is that?
I think so.
Yeah. They're both extremely beautiful women. And to know that Demi Moore was, like, so self-conscious, it's just, like, if a woman like that is so self-conscious, yeah, it's like, oh, my God, like, you are gorgeous. Yeah. But I do like how they also, like, show how men treat women. Like,
yeah,
I feel like there's a very present stereotype of, like, a man. Like, obviously, they showed it very blatantly in the movie where the motorcycle guy or whatever, mm-hmm, obviously falling for Margaret Qualley's character. And then when he runs into Demi Moore, like, he's a total asshole.
Yeah,
like,
he's a fucking jerk. It's funny that there are kind of, like, four major male characters, and they're all, like, such extreme personifications of, like, different types of men.
Because
you have, like, that young asshole guy, who even when she was, like, bleeding on him, he was just, like, oh, like, just frustrated, like, hello, why are you taking so long in the bathroom? Yeah. You know, always, like, blood on him from it, like, not concerned at all.
Yeah.
There's the fucking weird-ass neighbor who was just, like, dorky as hell and super fucking silly and, like, definitely have met guys like that.
You
try way too hard. There's, like, the super fan, which, like, I felt like, man, he seemed like such a sweet guy. But it also was weird the way he kind of ran into a taxi after talking to her, which made me feel like, was he supposed to be, like, stalking her or something?
I wondered that, too, because I was like,
it never came up again.
It didn't really come up again. I wonder if something maybe got cut from the movie. But, like, I did feel that, too. I was like, well, how did he? It feels, like, very odd that he was, like, in the same exact place as her.
It did feel sweet, though, the way when she called him, there were, like, those long pauses where you could see her getting super self-conscious and nervous, and then he'd just be like, I'm still in shock. Like, I can't believe you even called me.
Yeah.
He seemed like a sweet guy.
Yeah, everyone in the theater was laughing at that. I mean, there was, like, five other people in the theater with us.
And then, of course, there's the big producer guy who is just, like, completely showing those, like, stereotypes.
Oh, yeah. I've definitely met that type of person before.
Yeah.
Many types of that person.
And there was, like, her, I don't even need to mention him because he was in the movie for, like, a second. The bald guy with the hairy butt. What? At the end, who was, like, banging on the bathroom door and then ran out. He was there for, like, 2 seconds.
Oh, right. Yeah, no. I don't even know what the story was there.
It was interesting, though, like, the progression of the movie, the way that early on, it did seem like they were respecting the idea that they are one, and the way they showed, like, this kind of gentleness and care with each other. Although I was wondering, why were they just leaving her on the bathroom floor?
Yeah, I was,
like,
wondering that too.
Put her in a bed or something? Like, that was weird. But then over the course of the movie, they both become kind of bitter toward each other, and it goes in, like, these real extreme directions, you know, with the younger self partying, getting drunk, and, like, forgetting about curfews and, like, stretching things out. And then the older one, the way she was just, like, sitting around watching TV and eating, like, ridiculous amounts of food all day.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of those scenes play also into, like, when you're growing up as a young girl, you're told, like, you are what you eat. And stuff like that. So, like, you have to be careful what you eat. And, like, she literally, like, pulled that chicken bone out of her. And
that
she was, like, so
pissed.
Well,
that was,
the,
like,
whole
a
chicken.
Whole fucking chicken wing.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah. So, it's just funny because, I mean, it's, like, an exaggerated view of, like, oh, well, I can't eat this because it's literally going to show
it
up on my body.
In her butt. Yeah. Yeah, that whole scene was very funny, the way all the men crowded in and they were like, let's go frame by frame. She's just waiting to see that chicken bone pop out of her ass.
Yeah, and it's literally like, if someone who is self-conscious or has body dysmorphia, it's like your worst fear is like someone analyzing.
Chicken bone popping out of your butt cheek.
Yeah, that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yes, I know what you mean.
Yeah, but just like people watching every single second of you. It's just.
Looking over like every interview for a tiny little wrinkle or fold or something.
Yeah,
I understand.
Well, I mean, I worked in the beauty industry briefly.
Yeah.
And I pivoted to special effects, thank God. But I think one thing that really pulled me away from the beauty industry is literally the way women are treated in the industry is like awful, and I unfortunately have personal experience with that when working at a certain makeup store.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about like striving for this idea of perfection, but the beauty standards themselves are always changing. So it's like, it's impossible to really achieve that. And it's not respecting the fact that you do age and change. Like, that's normal.
Yeah. It would be nice to see women be respected throughout all like seasons of their life instead of just like, oh, when they were 25.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would be nice. But we're going kind of long. Why don't we get into the ending? Because there is a lot to talk about there.
That's really great.
So I'll set it up though by saying, throughout the movie, I think the way it was playing with the themes, the style, the humor, like all that stuff worked super well. But I was waiting because I had heard people talk about how like extreme the body horror gets. And there were like little snippets, like when she pulls the back of her dress down and like her guts fall out and, you know, the fucking chicken wing through the belly button.
Yeah, the sound design was really cool during that moment, too.
Yeah.
You could like be inside of her.
Yeah. And just the way that Demi Moore, like as she was like having her youth sucked out of her through her spine and was getting older and turning into this like crone.
Yeah, the prosthetics and I really need to look into the process of that. I should probably start doing that because I feel like I keep saying that in the episode and then I go back and it doesn't matter.
There probably isn't a lot of behind the scenes right now anyway.
Yeah, it's just incredible. Like the level of like craftsmanship for all of these special effects is just, it's extremely well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But leading up to, at first it's when she's like full on crone because she realizes like she has used up all the spine juice and has to bring her back. And she's just like completely disfigured. I mean, it's literally like when you think crone, it's like they just perfectly created that. But then when they finally have that struggle and she creates like a clone of a clone, and that's how we get, what's it, Monstro Elizasu?
Yeah, something like that.
That even that, the whole title card, I feel like from the title card to the end of the movie was like, they completely just blew the fucking lid off everything.
Yeah,
I was very happy with it.
Yeah, I feel like they definitely took like every idea they had and like put it in there and it worked so perfectly.
Yes, because the monster that comes out, like even the fact that there was like the face on the back and there's like random mouths and shit. Yeah,
that was crazy. Like, was that had to literally be Demi Moore. Like,
yeah,
because like it was incredible. That facial expression was terrifying.
Yes, everything. And it reminded me of that game Inside. Do you remember the end of that game with the flesh blob?
I don't know.
Okay, it doesn't matter. Those listening who know, you know. It is. It does remind me of like that kind of thing where it just suddenly is like the craziest creation they could think of straight up out of society.
Yeah.
Like it is just the shunting right there.
Yeah.
And the fact that it just kept going from there with the way that she like pulls herself into the dress and like pulls the dress over the face on the back and has like a titty just popping out of the dress here. Like all this little, these little details were just so fucking funny.
Well, they also did like the society callback thing where that one guy in society, I don't even know if this is a spoiler or not, but whatever. They call him a butthead.
Oh,
I think. And then like he becomes like a butthead. Yeah. And then here, like at the casting call, they said about some other woman, it's like too bad her boobs weren't in the middle of her face or whatever. And there's literally like a boob birthing out of her face.
That was what was so funny to me. Because when she goes on stage and there's that moment of horror from everyone, and then she just like pukes up a titty.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, here's another titty for you. Like, there you go. What more do you want? You know? But yeah, the way that it like it really just becomes so extreme and over the top at the end when everyone's like screaming like shoot it, kill it, and they're just like smacking it and it's exploding and gore is flying everywhere.
I have to say that literally felt like a cathartic scene because it was like that's what what you feel like is gonna happen when you walk outside and people see you, and it's like it's funny to see it like exaggerated and play out in real time.
I do feel like this is why we need more women horror directors. I think you can really feel it with stuff like this because That felt like the appropriately cathartic way to end all of this, to just fucking be spraying blood on everyone and viscera and like really just going for it, you know?
Yeah, I guess they used like some sort of like blood cannon or something. Like yeah. That was so nuts.
Yeah. That was excellent. Yeah. And then of course her final form is like the little jellyfish blob, yeah. Which is like, yes, perfection. Like, it's the beauty standards culled down to their basic elements, just the jellyfish. Yeah, it was a pretty perfect way to end the movie, and I'm glad that they decided to really go there with the body horror, you know? But yeah, excellent, excellent movie. It does the horror thing, like I said, of making something that's super entertaining in like every way, but also feels like really authentic and like it really has something to say. Definitely one of the best of the year out of a lot of other amazing horror movies.
Yeah, I don't even know. It's too hard to rank all of these movies from this year because all of them bring something totally new and it's been really cool to see.
Yeah. But I don't know. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on?
I talked a little bit about it in the intro. I'm just really impressed with the art direction in this film. Like,
yeah,
the way that they branded out the substance, like packaging and like how she would go to get it and everything.
Oh, yeah.
I like really appreciate that because I just think it looks so cool. And then like the additive of like the green juice and the green bile and stuff like that is just cool.
We didn't even touch on that. It is interesting how they give us absolutely nothing as far as like who is behind all this, because you literally don't even see them. You just hear the voice on the cell phone and that's like it. And then everything else is like unmanned, like that weird secret room and everything. So that's interesting too, like the mystery of it.
Yeah, I mean, there is even that portion where during the termination where the voice just like appears in the room.
Oh, too, yeah.
Because like, I don't think she has her phone on or anything.
Yeah, I don't know if that was supposed to be in her head or what, but it adds this like surreal element to it that works super well. I'm glad they didn't like put a face on it.
Oh, yeah,
or anything.
I don't need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's it. You can go to ghostbeast.com for all their links. You can also search for Ghost Beast Pod, and you can follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd, where we rank the movies we cover. So here's where I would put it. Above Long Legs, but below In a Violent Nature.
I don't think I could put it above Long Legs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some put it above X?
I don't know. I feel like it's hard because I feel like it could definitely go below Strange Darling because I really liked Strange Darling. Not that I didn't like this movie, but I mean, how do you feel? Because it's Godzilla's right under it.
I mean, I like Shin Godzilla more, so I'm okay with it.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Then we put it above Godzilla Minus One and below Strange Darling at number 13. And you can contact us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. What are your favorite 2024 movies? I feel like we've seen most of them, but there have been a few here and there we probably missed. Let us know.